Surgeon's Assistants by Fred Early. I began to get some feeling back in my right arm, and this made me wonder why I was still a patient here. Luckily, they had not tried to place me on an upper bunk, and I was comfortable as one could be with a tree taped to your side. I began to feel around to see these little particles that kept falling on me from the bunk above. I finally asked the corpsman, and he said without hesitation, "They're maggots. The doctor wants them left in the boy's leg above until they can get it amputated. He says they will keep the infection down." That also explained the sound I kept hearing. The closest description that I can come up with is that it's like the first little flakes of sleet gently hitting the ground and then setting in for a quick melt when it wishes to move. He simply plops his tail down on what he's resting on, causing his body to fly off his perch, and this is his mode of movement. As the doctor made his visiting rounds, I asked him, "When are you going to do something for me, Doc?" The doctor said, "We take our patients according to what shape they're in. When you get down to where you are the worst one in this ward, then we'll do the amputation." As he walked away, I knew I would be feeling sick to my stomach again as the smell of the ward filled my lungs. The Man in the Mirror by Fred Early. When I saw the doctor again, I asked him if I could take a shower. He said, "You can do anything that's possible for you to do while you're in this ward." So when I asked when I can get this big old tree off my side, all the tape is beginning to make me itch, and I really am sure that there is no need for it. "I'll have them take it off," was the only part of the answer I was able to hear as he walked away talking to me. I totally excused him for this action, as I knew he was a very busy person. I hadn't had a shower in many days, and when they took the limb off my side, I felt like I could walk a little bit. I knew my way around the ship, and I went out the door and found the restroom, what we called the head. There wasn't anybody around when I walked in. There was a long string of stools on one side and the shower stalls on the other. I heard the door slam, and I looked to see who had come in. It was somebody I didn't know, and I was about to say, "Well, what the hell happened to you?" I looked a little harder and realized I was looking in the mirror. I was looking at myself. I didn't have any hair. It was all burnt off, singed. One eyelid had been cut open, and it drooped down, and I was looking through the hole in the skin, cut to the rear. They hadn't cleaned me up or done anything with me, and I was really a ragged-looking thing. It was scary to be in the amputation ward, but the doctor put me to work. He said, "You still got two hands. You ought to be writing letters for these guys. They can tell you what they want to say to their mothers." So, I wrote lots of letters. It was a hard, hard, hard thing to do. I did my crying at night. And it's difficult to tell or write about, even now. While I wrote their mothers, I didn't write my own because I was unsure of what to say. I did not know they had sent my mother a letter saying that there had been a huge explosion, and they didn't tell her what had happened, but that their son had been lost in action. They never wrote again or called, and when I found out later what a hard, hard time my mother had during those 22 days with no word from me. 8 days and 8 nights I spent with that horrible odor and the sound of sawing bones. If I was asked the question, "Where is the worst place you have ever served your tour duty in the Marines?" My answer would have to be in the amputation ward. The sound of a small saw cutting off a man's arm or leg will stay with me as long as I live. Daffodil Thermometer by Fred Early. I'm asked many times if anything funny ever happened during the war, and of course it did, even in the amputation ward. A flower arrangement showed up in the ward one day, and the corpsman on duty plucked one of the long-stemmed flowers from the bouquet and carried his stolen property to the bedside of a lieutenant colonel who had always insisted that the insignias displayed on the collars of clothing he was wearing were very visible. He carried with this the attitude that rank deserved special privileges. This attitude soon began to grow unbearable to the staff of the hospital ship. So, with that in mind, the corpsman carrying his beautiful flower said rather loudly, "On your stomach, sir. It's time to take your temperature." Then he inserted just enough of the long-stemmed flower to hold it just the way you love to see it sway back and forth in the gentle breeze. Then he stepped back to admire his work in the same manner as a great artist would do. The door of the amputation ward opened, and there seemed to gather a crowd of spectators, for no one walking past could continue. No one was laughing, but there were enough chuckles that the colonel turned his head. He saw the crowd that was gathering and said in a practiced voice, "What's wrong with you morons? Haven't you ever seen a temperature taken rectally before?" There was a sudden stillness in our ward, and even the sound of sawing bones was missing, although the smell of sawing bones remained. The quiet of the moment was broken only when one of the swabbies was brave enough to answer the colonel's question. "Yes, sir, I've seen temperatures taken in times rectally, but this is my first time to see it done with a daffodil as a thermometer." When the corpsman was asked where he had gotten the idea, he replied, "Reader's Digest."